It's much easier to sing than to accomplish. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Surrender is difficult, and it's rare to find the fully surrendered life to Jesus Christ. Very rare indeed. Now, I know this word is not a Bible word. However, the equivalent is stated many times, and it is a Bible truth. The word yield is found in your Bible. Now, be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and serve the Lord your God. That is in the Old Testament. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that is in the New Testament. James finds another word. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I believe the problem and the possibility center here. How much of you does Jesus Christ have? Now, Paul approaches this with refreshing directness. He tells his Roman friends, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You can't make it, sir, without surrender. I'm sorry to say I don't see much surrender at our altars or in our prayer rooms. You know, it's one thing to fall in love and another thing to submit. Thank God for the orange blossoms and the confetti and the receiving line and rapture. I wouldn't have it otherwise. But suddenly, this same thrilled and charming girl is facing her partner and saying to him, now, who are you to tell me what to do? The answer is this, honey. He's your husband, not just your boyfriend. He's the fellow to whom you promised to cleave to none other and to obey. You're looking at him. And that's when marriage begins. It's one thing to give your heart to Jesus, and it's another thing to give your life to Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be master as well as redeemer. You can't live a Freudian, Jekyll and Hyde, split personality kind of life and be free. This heaven and hell amalgamation won't work. You can't set up a peaceful coexistence with the devil. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Jesus laid it on the line. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, who's giving you orders? What have you got dangling from your lips? Did Jesus tell you to smoke that cigarette? What do you have in your hand? Did Jesus tell you to drink that scotch and water? Against whom are you pressing? Did Jesus suggest the dance floor to you? To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Mr. The devil won't have you unless you serve him. It's impossible to set up a high-level non-partisan relationship with the devil. He doesn't operate that way. He is the boss. So the key to victory is service. Become a servant of Jesus Christ and the struggle will cease. Saul of Tarsus learned who was going to give the orders before he entered Damascus. Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It was no longer Saul, but Christ, no longer the proud Pharisee, but a servant of Jesus Christ. So many of you are adherents, members, joiners, visitors at the service, philanthropists, officials, promoters, workers, but not servants. You want heaven, but you want to run your own lives until you get there. But Christ yielded himself unreservedly to the will of his Father. He never asserted himself in opposition. He became obedient. He never complained that the Father's will was irksome or difficult. He knew that will would cause enmity, and he accepted the risk. But the pleasure Jesus experienced, performing the Father's will, far exceeded the pain it involved. He made no demands of his own. He became the servant. He made himself of no reputation. He never wanted to be something. He wanted to do something. To do thy will, O God. What I'm setting forth is not easy, church member. It requires a spiritual experience. It's difficult to yield my will to another's control. I don't want to yield my mail. I don't want even to be told what to eat or to wear or when to go to bed or what road to take. I don't want to be told to help with the dishes or to take the garbage out or to clean my room or to wear a tie. Oh, I'm very fond of myself. So I take Jesus as a Sunday morning asset or a decoration. I don't serve him. I only admire him. I drop his name when it is convenient and I deny it when it advances another purpose. I can sing hymns on Sunday and listen to dirty jokes laced with cussing on Monday. I always contrast Paul with Ananias. Now, Ananias crashed because the rule of his life was he kept back part of the price. He kept looking for bargain Christianity. He wanted the name of having done the thing without having done it. But Paul made it because the rule of his life is expressed in the text for this service. I kept back nothing. He went all out. And that's the way Paul preached. He never slanted or planted the message. He never played politics from the pulpit. He told the Corinthians, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He never trimmed his message. He tells the Galatians that when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now that isn't easy to do with your district superintendent. Paul's goal was at all times to be the vehicle of Jesus Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's interesting as you travel the Middle East today to discover that on the traditional site of Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road, there's a Christian cemetery. At first, that might appear an ironical memorial, but on second thought, it has a suggestive significance. It was there that Saul of Tarsus died, and Paul the Apostle was born. There he put away his self-mastery, his personal ambitions, his aims, what he wanted to be in life, and do count them but dung, he says, that I may win Christ. Now so many of us are bending every effort to secure the master's degree. Have you reached yours? Can you point to some altar, some brush arbor, some camp meeting, some prayer closet, some family worship where you won Christ? That's a good word Paul uses, that I may win. That's the purpose, mister, to win. The mystery is this, you win by losing. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss, Christ makes the difference. There was Jacob. Jacob bargained with God. Many do. Jacob stated conditions if he were to prosper, enjoy a safe convoy, a sure return. If God would grant these things to him, then he would be Jacob's God. Sounds like a lot of converts that I have met. They aren't prepared for blood, sweat, and tears. They write an agreement for bread, success, and travel. Satan suspected Job that he had that kind of religion. But the apostle's surrender was unconditional. It was like ruse. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God, and where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I've always loved the following phrase. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Have you ever really made up your mind to go all the way with Jesus, regardless? The church needs a few more crossroads. It's got to be for keeps, lady, or it won't last. So Paul wrote no small print into the contract. He asked for no soft places. He clutched at no safety. He sought the suspension of no penalties. He went out to meet anything that might happen to him. He flung away all consideration of personal security when he yielded himself to Jesus. History teaches us that the unconditional life is the life that God uses. Murray McShane found it. He gave his life away. Sir Wilfred Grenfell found it. He gave his life away. Clara Barton found it. She gave her life away. Now, just why should you be a Christian? Ask yourself that. Ask the evangelist the same question. What is there in it for me? I don't think I would be interested in sitting on a fire escape. I'm attracted by the prospect of being used, employed by God, sent on some adventure of faith, commanded to some miracle of achievement, assigned to some accomplishment of trust. And if I couldn't be his, mister, I wouldn't want fringe benefits. I'll tell you this, it's always better to be wife than mistress. Do the words mean anything to you when you sing them here? Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Have you given yourself away? It's human surrender that releases the divine power. David Livingstone said, I give him everything. Pity I have so little to give. William Booth said, God always has had all there was of me. The scientist must have instruments, and the surgeon must have tools, and God must have surrendered lives. Whom shall I send? And who will go for me? That's heaven's cry. And then you hear an answer from this planet. Here am I. Send me. That moment has come for you. The Holy Spirit has carefully brought us by the word and by testimony and by praise and singing to this point of impact with Calvary. Hundreds of us are ready to kneel, so turn where you are. This long, long altar winds its way through your town and through your home. These are 10 precious seconds as we move toward our knees.
There's room at the cross for you.
Do not feel frightened. I know you're experiencing something strange and wonderful. Some of you are trembling. Some of you feel that you can touch God for the first time. Some of you sense cleansing. You're eager to confess, to have the guilt canceled. Yes, it is different. The altar isn't at all like being examined in a doctor's office or talking to your lawyer or watching a lifelike story. The altar is the most private experience granted to mankind. Its penetration reaches where medicine and counseling can never reach. And the change you realize here will affect every segment of your daily schedule. God himself will be present, and you'll never be without his quickening touch. Father, you have come to us through Christ thy Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, and we are alive. We were dead in trespass and sin. The benefits of Calvary are transferred to us. We need no longer serve wickedness in our bodies or our minds. We adore Jesus, our Savior, and we thank thee for so many helps: the sacraments, the church, the free access of prayer, an open Bible, the baptism of the Spirit, the victory of testimony. And we will use these weapons of righteousness in thy name. Bless us to others this week. Amen. Now I thank God for those with a gift of faith who will move with me now in the direction of special ministry as the Spirit points the way. For God wants us to direct his will for this moment of revelation. And I sense with that inward sense of faith as your evangelist, a man at this altar who must give an answer within the next 24 hours to his company. A job with higher pay and a real advance in the company is offered to you, sir. And you do not know whether to accept. It would take you away from your present surroundings. And so you seek guidance. And now the Holy Spirit, who guides into all truth, will let you know in the next 10 seconds. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You know how to solve doubts, and I thank thee for bringing assurance to this brother. We place all the praise and the credit at thy feet. Amen. Now, you have been enjoying fellowship with the Revival Time people. We're a network of evangelistically minded people around the earth. And the only thing different about us is that we believe and practice that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.